soul career to get here and have many flight delays, but he got here.
Amen.
And we're going to worship for a while. Amen. So, Father God, thank you for this time together.
Hallelujah.
Now, just lift your hands to him. And begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Somebody comes, oh, they come on. On the best act, I'm on the best symbol. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. We bless your name. All of us on that, all of us on that, at the ass of the woman. In the name of Jesus, come back. We give you glory and honor and praise. Have your way in this place tonight. The Lord Jesus is Lord of this house. Hallelujah. And Lord of us all. Speak to us tonight, I pray. Speak to us, God, I pray. In the name of Jesus, have your way in this place. And we'll rejoice and be glad. And you can put your hands together and be glad.
Put your hands together.
We move the mountains, told the wind and waves be still. We cast out demons, in the empty soul be still. And now there's breakthrough, now there's freedom in your name. You gave us power, and the keys to do the slave. Made accusers from their stones, showed us mercy with your mighty miracles. Now there's breakthrough, now there's freedom in your name. You gave us power and the peace to do the same. Now we proclaim Jesus' name, walls fall down, Jesus' name, strongholds break, Jesus' name, amen. We are healed in Jesus' name, there are miracles in Jesus' name, pour them out in Jesus' name, amen. We are healed in Jesus' name. Jesus.
I cannot hold it inside. I cannot keep it quiet. Spirit fall
speaking. Oh, can you see it? He's got your healing. Oh, just receive it. Receive your freedom. Oh, can you feel it? Heaven is reaching. Oh, can you hear it? Our God is speaking. Oh, can you see it? He's got your healing. Oh, just receive it. Receive your freedom.
Lift up the hands that hang down and lift up the voice now still and give unto me glorious praise and sing of your great victories. Tell the world through song, through praise. Tell your enemy and tell me that I am Lord God Almighty.
Oh, yeah.
Exalt my name.
Yes.
And know this, there is nothing too difficult for me.
Yeah.
I've come to visit with you this week.
Thank you.
And I've longed to gather with you one more time. And over the next few hours, the time you have left, If you reach to me, you will encounter me. And you will not leave disappointed. But you'll leave ready to go back and pour out all that I've poured into you. Hallelujah. Amen. Lift your hands to him.
Thank you for your business.
Jesus, bring new wine out of me.
Christian University, so is Chase the teacher, so is Jana the teacher at Life Christian University at our Bible school. But those four folks will come forward. Both you, Jana, I'll turn it over to you and whoever you've got coming forward to lay hands on these and set them apart for the work of the ministry. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Would Jana
lay hands
on these? In the kitchen. He's coming.
I'd like the presbyters that are here and also the board members from JCMF to come so we can lay hands on them. welcome them into the fellowship. I do.
She's coming.
They're coming. Okay. Good. Well, it's so good to see people coming into their calling, being set apart for that calling. We realize as Global Christian Ministry Forum, we are just acknowledging what God already has said to you and what God is doing, and we're recognizing your calling. It is God who has laid it on your heart, and it is God who has called you. He calls you to walk in integrity, to be a light to wherever you go, not just when you're ministering, but everywhere you go. He's called all of us to be light, but we are setting you apart for the work that God has already called you to. And we know that you have no idea, and we have no idea, where the Holy Spirit will lead you into the future as you follow him. But this one thing I do know, he requires us to walk upright, to walk in integrity, to never bring a disgrace to the name of Jesus Christ or his kingdom. We are representations of who our King is, and we are to reflect that. And so as I'm going to ask all of them to, and I haven't seen the other presbyters, they didn't get here yet, but anyhow, I'm going to ask us to begin to lay hands on them, to pray over them. If God has given you a word for them, share that word. This is your time. You will remember this day for the rest of your life. I remember when they laid hands on me and set me apart. It was just a piece of paper they laid in my hands, but there was a whole lot more took place in my heart and in my life and in my walk with God. I now am responsible for the reflection of Christ in a greater measure than I was before. And so I want to just encourage you in that. Stay in the Word. Don't get sidetracked by the cultures of today. Because cultures will come and times will change, but his word remains the same forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
So we're going to ask them to come, and if you have anything to share, you can. But we're going to just lay hands on them, and we're going to pray over them and set them apart.
We just thank you.
We will do it. Let them pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, as they lay hands on them, Father, we thank you that you have called them, that you have chosen them. But Lord God, we ask that you would just anoint them with a special anointing now. Father, to give them wisdom beyond their understanding at this moment. God, their future is in your hands. Lord God, we thank you that they have dedicated their lives to minister your word, to minister to those around about them. Father, where you will set them, where you will cause their feet to go, nations, nations, oh God, to the nations, Lord God, to spread the word. Father, into places that they would never dream to go except they're carrying the Holy Spirit of God and the power of God and releasing them. Father, we just pray, Lord God, set them apart for your usefulness. Set them apart for your kingdom. Set them apart, Lord. Anoint them in the name of Jesus. Special anointing on their lives, Lord God. Special anointing, Lord God. Hallelujah. Jesus. As we set them apart for your work,
yes,
as we recognize the call in their lives, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, to your honor, to your glory, we ask that they be set apart for your ministry in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I see on you a calling for a nation. Missionary, not a missionary, but to spread the gospel in nations. As you're called, you shall go. He will make the way. In Jesus' name, I call it forth. In Jesus' name, I see children gathering to you. I see children gathering to you, and you minister to children. Do not despise the children, but have them come unto me, saith the Lord. Lead them and guide them. Give them life that I give. I release you for the nations in Jesus' name.
Oops.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you.
You guys are ready. Your hands laid on you. You received her. Don't you made a step to give my life to Jesus, and I identify with this group of people. Here's the Lord in the same thing. Lord God, we bless them. We bless them. We bless them in this house. I bless them as they strive work with us here in this house, and out of this house, beyond this house. In Jesus' name. Amen.
I'd just like to share a quick word. You know, when we get set apart for ministry, the first thing that seems to come into our mind is to do great and mighty things all over the world, and we're going to set the world on fire. And then God begins to take us places that we never dreamt we would go, or that we really had a desire to go, because we wanted the big crowds. But I'll never forget something that happened, and I want to share this to everyone that goes overseas. I was with a bishop in Ghana, and I'm thinking it was Ghana. And we were praying for people, and you had at least four or five ministers of your organization there, and there was lines of people, and this lady brought a little child, and she brought that little child to me and said, would you pray for this little child? And something inside of me just broke. How precious is a little child?
Yeah,
because that little child is going to grow up and become a mighty servant of the Most High God. But we overlook sometimes children's ministry. And that little child I took in my arms and I began to pray, and I had my eyes closed, and I know tears were running down my cheek. You know, I could just sense the Spirit of God touching me. I opened my eyes from praying for that little child. There was a long line of children waiting to come to get prayer.
Hallelujah.
They just were ready to receive from God my prayer. Now, I want to say this. We would have missed what God wanted to do had we not taken that time. And the people were getting prayed for. There was other. But God told me, you pray for every one of those children standing there. And I'm not sure if it was an hour or more, but we just kept praying for those children. And I believe, by the power of God, those children's lives were changed for eternity. So when someone says you're called to a children's ministry, don't say, oh. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Take what God will give you.
That's right.
And do it with your whole heart and being, and then he will take you other places.
Amen, amen.
But serve the Lord with gladness,
yes.
even in
yes.
the very
yes.
small
yes.
beginnings.
Yes. Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I'm just blessed to see you all tonight. When this convocation was being planned, and I'm not on that board, but my wife is, so I'm submitted to her. Now, she was talking to Virginia about, you know, what about a convocation? Let's come back together again. Let's get off the Zoom and come
Amen.
To the room. I said, listen, I'm going to call Eugene and talk to him. So I said, Eugene, in the years gone by, we've always come to Florida in January
That's right.
for convocation. And you wonderful Northerners just love getting out of the cold.
Yes, we do.
And coming in and sitting
yes,
up our side. I said, well, we're in Florida and we can offer it a little bit of a drive to the beach, but nonetheless. So it all started working out. And I said to him, I said to Eugene, I said, do you have anybody an idea someone for the, you know, the key speaker? He said, what do you think, Dave? I said, well, I do. Yeah. And I said, it was Alain Caron. And I said, what was it, 2015, I think, in Toronto, that you spoke. Alain did one morning service. And I didn't know him. I'm from Florida, man. I don't know people from Quebec. And I listened that morning, and I was just, what can I say, riveted to my seat and listening. And I said to my wife, and I said, I've never in my life had anyone who didn't know me describe me to a team. And how I look at things, the call of God on my life. So you may be hungry for the books that you've written. Then we were in Ohio at the Hazel Myers Church, remember? Morning session and the evening session. And from there, I boldly stepped out and shot him an email to see if he could build a relationship. And we did. And we're like the best friends. And we've talked on the phone one time, right? But we email one another, encourage one another. So when I asked him if he would come to this, he said yes. Well, he's come from Seoul, Korea. He flew from Seoul, Korea to get here with flight delays and storms. And he arrived in Bartow at 20 after 6.
Wow.
20 after 4. No.
Oh,
no, no,
I'm
20
sorry.
After 6.
I'm wrong.
This time
I'm wrong. I
could just go home right now. I've got the greatest victory. But. So he rushed here from Seoul, Korea, and a few hiccups along the way. Would you please welcome my friend and yours, Alain Caron from Quebec.
Toronto was the international one,
yeah.
Also in Canada with the TED. TED is not alive. Oh, hello, TED. Nice to see you. My fellow snowbird from Canada. And so I'm always honored to be here because with GCMF, because I feel something very godly with the roots of this fellowship.
Amen.
Actually, when I entered this church, I also felt those godly, it's a root system, godly root system. The other place I felt that before was in New Brunswick, with a church there led by Pastor Luke Weaver.
Yeah.
He's probably, you're probably extended family together, yeah, because he's from Pennsylvania too.
Yeah.
And so when we became Christian, my wife and I, out of the drug world, we needed to learn how to live as believers, because this was not our upbringing. And so the church that received us, of course, we had pastors and they taught us, we're still in that same church. And the pastors were the founders, they are our spiritual parents, they're still part of our church. Eventually we became the leaders. But there was another church in New Brunswick that the pastor's wife, our mom, was coming from. So we always went there once or twice a year to find what was a Christian family. And so we were receiving good food from that. And I feel the same heart here, you know? It's a godly place. It's a place that's solid in the spirit. And I really appreciate to be here. And so I just want to honor all of you here tonight, Brother Eugene. I you know what I feel about you? You're a real father. Yes. And this is so precious. You know, Paul says you have many teachers, but you don't have many fathers.
That's right.
When you find the true father, stick around that person.
Amen.
Stay there for a while. Don't leave that person. You know, you need the heart of that person. And you're such a man. Can we give glory to God for Brother Eugene? And all of you in the service of the Lord here, Bishop from Ghana, God bless Ghana, and all Africa, it's a continent that's on my heart. I go often to Africa. I was in Cameroon in November, and we gathered many leaders from the country there. I say that if you go to Africa once, Africa steals your heart.
That's right.
You cannot take it back, and that's what it does to you. So, and all other servants of the Lord here, I mean, be honored. This is a great thing to do, to serve the Lord.
That's right.
Ted and everyone. We're all serving the Lord.
Amen.
I want to honor each one of you. Those who were laid hands on tonight, this is a great night for you. This is, like Eugene said, you'll never forget it. So, because an impartation of something is given to you, and it changes you. It's amazing. It's like an invisible substance that's transferred to you, changes you, and it empowers you to serve in new capacity. So praise God for that.
Amen.
And I also invited friends to come here that probably maybe don't know, but we met in the UK just a few weeks ago. It was end of January. We were doing a conference in UK. Where I was with Becca Greenwood, and part of the ministry team was my new friend Robin here, who came with her daughter. I'm sorry, may I don't know your name?
Emily,
okay. And so they're from the area also, and they drove to be here. Robin, why don't you give greetings here and just tell us a few words about your ministry? Because I really like your spirit. We come, just, you're my friend. So they receive you as their friend.
Well, thank you. We are privileged and honored to be here and to bless this house with Tribe Activation Ministry. I'm third generation in the ministry, right? On both sides of my family. So we're multi-generational, and my daughter, Emily, she is in ministry as well. It just doesn't look the same as us. But anyway, it's Tribe Activation. We're about moving and networking and connecting in God's heartbeat. And we want to be able to work interdenominational, but across every culture, every person, every heart. And I love being here with each of you. We are privileged. We're underneath Lacey Peter Wagner and Chuck Pierce with Becca Greenwood. And that's how we got to know Mr. Caron here. Mr., I'm sorry. I grew up that way, right? I'm Southern. You gotta say Mr. and Sir and yes, ma'am.
Right.
But anyway, we love the Lord and we love what He's doing, right? This is a new time.
Yes, it is.
This is that latter rain. And you know, if you guys have been looking around the world, there's so many new outpourings.
Yeah.
Right now, he's showing up on campuses.
Yes.
Right? Earlier today, I was praying and looking online again, and we have 12 documented new outbreaks of this presence, the glory presence of the Lord.
Amen.
In the United States. This is so good.
Yes.
This is what God is saying. So we're just crying out more in that time. You know, he said in the rain, cry out for more. And so we're crying out for more. It's our privilege to be here with you, and I'm honored. Thank you, Elaine, very much.
Thank you, Robin. Thank you so much for having me. And I'm very excited, too, about the outbreak in the spirit that's happening at Asbury. Everybody's talking about this, and it's spreading everywhere. What a great time to live.
Yes.
We're really in a time of transition.
Yes.
And I want to talk about transition tonight, because in the spirit, it's a season of transition.
Yes.
I wrote a little booklet on that transition. I'm going to talk about that. The book is the book. I will share things that are done in the book. Otherwise, I mean, you know, just read the book, and I will. We need to share other things too. So I will. I don't know how I share. So I try to follow notes, and it never works. So it will be about transition. We'll get to that. I wrote different books. You will find them there. Let me just mention this one: Apostolic Centers. This book is about a new model of church, which is not new. It's about coming back to the model of the book of Acts. And it's been going around for a while, translated in many languages, about 8 languages, and all the books together. Actually, I was in Korea, like it was said, and it's one of the first countries that translated it in Korean, English, French, of course, Korean, then Chinese, and it goes on and on. And you would really enjoy the simplicity of this book, because it tells you from our experience what we have been through in the transitions toward an apostolic model of church. And it's something that can be understood. It's not something that I made complicated. Although the concepts are solid in theology. And then I wrote a sequel to that, Apostolic Expansion, which is more in the mission we have to gain new territories in that territorial war that we're in. You know, it's about territory. Yeah. Huh? At the beginning, God created what? He created a new territory. Yeah. That's Earth. It's a new territory for his glory to be expressed. And so now that Jesus came to take back what the enemy had stolen, we are sent to gain territory for the kingdom of God and establish measures that advances the kingdom where people live. So this book, from one house to another house, to a city, to a nation, it is bringing the kingdom of God in new territories. So the books are there at the entrance, so help yourself. And I think the prices are there. And if anyone, maybe you're in a place you don't have what it takes, just take a book. And that'll be okay, all right? No problem. So be blessed. And so from Korea, was quite a ride, I'll tell you. I'm trying to gather my thoughts here. I didn't sleep much in the last 2 days because that's the way it is. I don't sleep much in planes. And it's a long way. So I left today, Friday? I left Thursday. And from Seoul to Vancouver to Toronto. And in Toronto, when I get out of the plane, I say, I just have a short leg to do. I go to Montreal, and that's just an hour flight. I sleep a little bit, and I leave in the morning for Orlando. I get out of the plane, and they say, flight canceled. So, and they reroute me about that time tonight. I say, well, that won't make it. So I find a hotel, sleep a little bit, and try to find a way. They put me on the standby. I get up at 4 this morning, go to the standby. I'm gold status. I should pass. No. They have overbooked everything. And so there's no way they wanted me. The only flight was coming here like at 8, 9 o'clock tonight. I didn't like that. You You're praying, well. So anyway, I was with them at the counter this morning, and then there was no way, and I looked on the screen, and I saw this flight at noon. I said, what about that flight? He said, yeah, you could put you on that flight.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
There
in 5 minutes, they did it. And so, by the way, I landed, I just had time to come here, 15 minutes, you know, in time to be in the meeting here. Robert, most of the time, because his wife is watching. So Robert and Debbie picked me up and posted me so far and for the time I'll be here. Transition is what's happening right now. It's a season of transition in the world and in the spirit. You see, there's always parallel with what's happening in the world and in the spirit realm.
Yeah.
And there's many transitions. And transitions is not always easy.
Right.
Because sometimes God needs to shake some things. And he said, I will shake. I will shake what needs to be shaken, not only on the earth, but also in the heavens.
Yeah.
It needs to be shaken. Some power supplies of the enemy needs to be shaken so they are stopped and so that he will release to us what is unshakable.
Yes.
And we are standing already on that. And so shakings is another way of saying transition as well. That's the hard part of transition. There's many transitions in the Bible. Actually, it's a story of transition one after the other. And there's different types of transitions, and we need those. One of the first transition we all need to go through is called salvation. It is a transition.
It is.
You go from a kingdom to another kingdom.
Yes.
You cross over. You leave something to enter and gain something. It's the story of the prodigal son. In his sin, he said, "I will rise up. I will go to my father, and I will say, I'm not worthy to be your son, and so he will take care of me." So he made a transition. That's a transition that we receive redemption. So we all need to know this transition. I believe in this room, everybody has made that transition. If you have not made that transition, it's something really to consider. I will get up. And I will go to my Father. Jesus is calling us to know the Father. That's a transition that gives us eternal life. There's many other transitions, but there's one that is very important also. It's a transition that leads us from glory to glory. Now that's an interesting transition because you leave something to go to, it seems the same thing. But is it the same thing? You cannot leave a place to go to another place if it's the same place. So if you go from glory to glory, it's because there is a change. There is certainly a progression. There is a level, call it whatever terminology you want to use. There is a change. And the Spirit is leading us now from a place of glory to a place of better glory.
Yeah.
That's the journey he has for us. And so that's very interesting because we're in this transition, we're not leaving a bad place to go to a good place. We're leaving a good place to go to a better place.
Yes.
See, that's a very interesting transition. But somehow we often find it hard to transition, especially when the place we are and come from is good. If it's good, usually you don't want to leave it because there's a risk leaving something that's good, even if you have a promise of something better, because the journey is a movement, and in that movement of transition, you always have to leave something to gain something else.
Yeah.
So that transition from glory to glory is what I want to talk about tonight, because we are in that season of transition. 2 years ago, I received a prophetic dream. In that dream, the Lord was very clear to me. You know, dreams are not all the same. Some dreams need to be interpreted. They're symbolic and all that. Other dreams are direct. It's like you live in the spirit. Something that is very clear and God speaks to you or he sends an angel to speak to you. That does not need interpretation. You receive instructions. So it was a dream like that. In that dream, he told me, you preach 12 months, you transfer your spiritual DNA to your team for the first 9 months, once a month. And on the last 3 months, you open it large for the global body, and you finish the three more, it makes 12. You start at Pentecost 2021, and you finish at Pentecost 2022. So I obeyed, not knowing why, but it was clear enough to obey, and I prepared that spiritual legacy, I transferred it. Then I realized when we do that, it's because a transition will happen. And so from Pentecost 2022, and we're entering Pentecost 2023 soon, I saw in the spirit it was a season of transition. We are right in it right now. Right. It's very interesting that the revival in Asbury College is breaking forth right now,
yes,
in that season.
Yeah.
Now, it's not limited to a one-year season, but that 1 year speaks of a season that we are entering in. So really, I would like you to just welcome the transition that God is doing, not only in Asbury College, but it is a sign, but in many ways in our churches, in our ministries. For me at home, it meant that I was to hand the church to a younger generation, which I am doing right now. It would be final in the month of May, just before Pentecost. So for us, at the practical level, it's a real transition. So we are a family of five churches now. I will stay as a dad, as a supervisor, and I travel a lot. But I'm transferring the main church, our main apostolic center, to a younger couple who are actually from Africa originally. And so we are transgenerational and transcultural. It's the body of Christ, it's the beauty of the body of Christ.
Amen.
And so we welcome that. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. So as you look at that for your own life, sometimes having a message like I bring tonight just helps you to realize the season you're in and the changes that come your way to welcome them and cooperate with what the Lord wants to do. And it's not final with Pentecost coming, but if you identify the season, then it's a movement, and the movement can continue. Now, why is it hard for so many of us to transition? It is because we move from a place of glory to another place of glory. When the children of Israel were brought by the Lord to Sinai, there was a dispensation of glory that happened there on the top of that mountain, which actually in the Bible was called the mountain of God. Now imagine, a physical place on the earth is called the mountain of God. We know God is spirit and lives in the invisible, but there's a physical place you can touch and say, this place is the mountain of God. That's what God is saying in the Bible. And when he comes on that Mount Sinai, it's written literally that God came down on Mount Sinai. And there was a thunder and lightnings, and sounds of trumpets from heaven, fire, the mountain shook, and God spoke with his own voice. And they heard him, and they were even afraid by his voice. It was something very glorious. And from that place, he gave them the instructions he had for them to become the people of God. See, before they were the children of Israel, the sons of Jacob, they had become 12 tribes. But it's at Sinai, when God came with glory, that he spoke, gave them the law, that they were called the people of God. What a glorious place. Where Moses went on the mountain, entered the cloud, stayed with God for 40 days and 40 nights without eating, without drinking. He tasted that glory. Glorious place. I mean, you want to live there. You want to stay there, right?
Yeah.
They stayed there for a while, actually, because I go fast here, but it took about 1 year to to build the tabernacle that God had given instructions to Moses on that glorious mountain. It took about a year to build it, you see, and you see the end of that in Exodus 40, that when it was built, again, the glory came and was manifested, which is very interesting. I'll talk about that tomorrow. There's something about that. But that glorious place, it camped there for a year. So when you live in a place for a year, and the cloud covers the mountain, and then that cloud comes down from the mountain and comes on the tabernacle, it's very special. I mean, you you found a spot, right? You you're not looking for another church. You know, I find it's interesting that you're there. You know, I feel like God. You see my back. Like Moses, you know, he wanted to see God's glory. And God said, you cannot see my face. Yes. No, I understand. Yeah. But here's what I felt when I was there. I felt that the word of the Lord for you is this. You have the spirit of Moses on you, and the Lord is saying to you that you have a word of deliverance for His people in this season. And the Lord says, don't hold back. Don't say I'm too old, because Moses was advanced in age. Don't send your brother. Don't say I can't. Don't say I have hindrances that prevent me. The word that the Lord put inside of you is a word of deliverance. You need to speak it out, and it needs to be heard, because that's an anointing of Moses that's on you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's give glory to God for that.
Hallelujah.
So, what an amazing place. They became the people of God, but then God shocked them. He shocked them. And he said to them, you have stayed long enough on that mountain. You're going to move. You have stayed long enough on that mountain.
Yeah.
I believe many of us need to hear that and probably receive that. You have stayed long enough in what you have been doing or in what you have been comfortable with. You have been long enough in that same place, that spiritual place. You need to rise up and go and take the land that I promised to give to Abraham, my friend. You need to rise up and go and take it. That's what the Lord shocked them with. A season of transition was coming to them. You have stayed long enough. You see, the difficulty that we have is that if we know a good place of glory in the Lord, we don't want to leave it. But we need to be able to hear God a second time.
Yeah.
See, often we are able to hear God one time, and then we stay with what we heard, and we don't want to move from there.
Yeah.
But we need to be able to hear God when He speaks again, because God speaks, but He's not over speaking. He speaks again. And there's many places you can see that. When Abraham actually took his son Isaac, God told him, give me Isaac as a sacrifice on the mountain, I will show you. He brought his son on that word. He traveled many days with servants. He climbed the mountain with that word. And with that word, he tied his son, put it on the branches.
Yes.
With that word, he raised his knife, and suddenly a voice came, Abraham, stop. Take your hand up. God spoke a second time, and Abraham obeyed the voice.
Amen.
You need to hear a second time. What if he would not have obeyed the second time God spoke?
That's right. That's right.
He could have said, no, I'm sticking to the word I received. I will do what God asked me. What would I look like coming back and I have not done what I said I would do? No. He listened when God spoke the second time. You see, Peter, when he had a vision, Peter, arise, kill and eat. He saw all kinds of unclean animals and said, no, I can't. All my life, I have stick to what you have taught us. I cannot. Peter, arise, kill and eat. And the third time he understood. And so he was sent to the Gentiles that he didn't know he could go to. In his days, you need to understand, that was not possible.
Right.
When he came back from the house of Cornelius, all the other apostles said, what have you done?
Yeah.
You went to the house of a Gentile? Are you out of your mind?
Yeah.
Are you backsliding? And Peter said, what can I do? I had a vision. I obeyed the vision. See, the first instruction I had all my life was, don't touch that. But God spoke a second time.
Amen.
And I obeyed that, and I went.
Oh, okay.
And then I heard them speaking in tongues like us when we started. What can I do? I baptized them. Hey. And then in Antioch, they started to preach the gospel to non-Jews. They did not know what to do with that. They sent Barnabas. Barnabas, go check that. We don't know what's happening. This is not the kind of churches we're on in GCMF. Go check that out. And so Barnabas went there, saw the grace of God, and he rejoiced, and he said, yes, go, continue. You see, the all that he was raised in was denying what was happening, but he was hearing God for a second time. See, we need to be able to transition when God is moving. You see, we hear about Asbury College. It's a kind of transition. You see, we're all for it. We're all in favor. We're excited. It's wonderful. So we're all willing maybe to take a trip there and to go see it and maybe enter in the room and be there. But who will be ready to change the format we have so that we don't need to go there, but we can be it also? That's that means going from glory to glory. That's the hardest thing to do, right? A place with no speaker. Well, how can we have a Sunday morning without speaker? I mean, no program, just worshiping the Lord, you know? And so it's good in Asbury College, but it's not good for our Sunday morning. Or is it? I'm not saying you have to do that on Sunday morning. I'm just saying it's hard to go from glory to glory because there's a glory we know. The glory we know, we like. The glory we don't know, we celebrate when it's happening at another place. But when it comes to our place, it really disturbs us and it's scary. It scares us. It scares me when I lose control, when I don't know what to do, you know? But that's what's happening. From glory to glory, it's a time of transition, see? If we want to move from a regular conference to a gathering style conference, I just came from Korea. That was our model there for about 1,000 people gathered there. No speaker announced, no program except worship until we hear God speak, until someone has a word. It's a model. We call that the gathering. And so from our what we know to something that we don't know, because we want to move from glory to glory. I don't know if you're hungry here.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, one of the most beautiful thing about what's happening right now is to see the hunger of God's people.
Right.
And if God's people is hungry, it's because there's maybe a lack of bread in the house. Otherwise, we're not hungry. And that's not, we're all in this. We're all hungry, and we all say, we love the church, and yet we're hungry. We're hungry for more. What we have is glorious and good, but there's more.
Yes.
We definitely want more.
Yes.
And the youth of this nation, and soon of the nations of the world, suddenly is arising and say, this is what we want. The same youth that we don't know how to have come in our Sunday morning services anymore. Someone hears what I'm saying here. We're all in that place in the church. And now the Lord comes and he breathes. And he comes. And suddenly those who thought had no interest in are flocking towards. They're making a transition. The Lord is leading, and he is helping us to accept a transition that he's sending. So it's amazing that God came on Sinai. It was him. It was a sovereign act of him. He established that model, and now he say, you need to leave it. And that's what's hard, you know, because you say, but God, it's you who did that. And that's today so difficult even for some of our Jewish people to accept the transition towards Yeshua, Mashiach, because they received the law and they keep it.
Yeah.
Because God told them, you keep it, so yeah. They keep it. But God speaks a second time. After the first Adam came the second Adam, you see? And then after speaking by the prophets of the Lord, he now speaks through his son. And you need to hear him when he speaks again and make the transition. And so we are at that place right now, all of us, because God is saying, the mountain that was called the mountain of God is not the place I want you to stay. I want you to get moving because there's another mountain, there's another experience. And that's what happened at the second Pentecost. Sinai was the first Pentecost. The second Pentecost was in the upper room, in the mountain experience also. Same kind of experience. God comes. His cloud comes. The sounds of heaven come. Fire comes. And suddenly they're all affected. It's an invasion of angels and of heaven breaking through on the earth, and those who are there are completely affected by that, and they make a transition that we are still in today. It's amazing what happened at that transition. God comes. So when God comes, things are shaken. See, God does not come riding a bicycle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If a president of the country comes here, he will not arrive with a bicycle,
right.
nor with a Honda. You know, not just the Hondas, you know, but I mean, he will come with how many cars will that be? And the whole town will be blocked if he comes here. I would like him to come here, you know, to receive prayer. Praise God. Well, you know what I mean? I was in a breakfast, a national breakfast in Canada, and our prime minister came. And when he came, I mean, we were about 1,000 people in that room. It was very classy and all that, prayer breakfast. When that man, one man, entered the room, I tell you, the whole room changed. When he walked, there's a wave, and people on each side of him, and when he sat down, I mean, everybody sat down, you know? When he got up to leave at the end, I mean, eyes were on him. He is the prime minister of a country. Imagine God. When God comes, it's amazing. He bends the heavens and he brings his entourage with him, and he enters a place. That place is shaken and it changes. So when we go from transition to transition, from glory to glory, we can expect things to happen, right?
Amen.
Jesus actually had a time of a transition he needed to explain to his disciples when he told them, it's better for you that I leave, because you will receive the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit will lead you in the whole truth, and he will tell you everything. And so get ready for the transition. It was hard for them. They didn't want that transition. Peter certainly didn't want it. No, Lord, that will not happen. You're not, no, I will. And Jesus had to rebuke him. See, it is hard for many of us to make transitions, but a season of transition is here.
Amen.
And it's a season that we need to go from glory to glory. So I came tonight to announce to you a greater season. I came to encourage someone that there's a greater glory that is being released in this season, that if you want to walk with it, you will experience. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is what God has for his church right now. in that time of transition, when Jesus said, I will send the Spirit, he said, you will be my disciples. You will go to all nations. You will have authority over the enemy. You will take new territory. You will establish my kingdom. That's our transition. Amen. It's an apostolic. Apostolic transition. Apostolic means you are sent with a level of authority to do what you are sent to do. It's just as simple as that, really. You are sent to do what you have been sent to do with the authority to do it.
Right.
And so we are in that season now. See, the church didn't always understand these things. We thought church was for the comfort of God's people. Church was to keep us safe. Church was to comfort us. The church was to make us feel good. And they, I mean, it's beautiful, a church that takes care of the people of God. But we also had a mission, and the mission was to go in the world and take the world with the gospel and see the kingdom come with power in the world. See, so that transition is right in front of us again. It's an apostolic transition that we are called to enter in. And so God says, you have stayed long enough on that mountain. You need to rise up and go and do the stuff, and that's why my spirit is blowing right now. Amen? So that transition is to send us from glory to glory.
Amen.
So when we go from glory to glory, it happens that in between we experience some fatigue, sometimes the staying too long in one state is not helping us. Let me say it like that, because God is movement. The Spirit of God is in movement. What He sends, His glory is a movement that's progressing on the earth. It's a harvest. It's a seed that grows and produces a harvest. God moves. He is not contained in a form. He's not contained in a box. God is a movement. He goes from place to place, from people to people. And so that's what we need to understand, so we also don't resist the transition and we move with Him. That's what we need to understand. We need to be able to leave what has become old and embrace what's new. See, the glory we had was good. Now it's glory 2.0.
Yeah.
It's glory plus. Whatever it looks like, if the Holy Spirit is in it, you jump on that and you follow it, right?
Yeah.
And so if the disposition of our heart is there to receive what God is sending, then He lands on us. And from that place, He establishes a base of operation. And from that base of operations, He's sending His troops. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And we become that place for Him to mark the earth. That's what He wants to do right now. In the days we live in, we see the activation of things.
Yeah.
It does not even need to be a prophetic gift to realize it. Even non-believers are seeing it. Even non-believers see that the world is changing very quickly, advancing, and there's chaos and there's uncertainty. Things are moving so fast that we, as people of God, need to be able to walk at that pace and advance with His Spirit. I mean, the times we live in are glorious times, because when God shakes, He said that He is making of us unshakable kingdom. So these are good news for us. These are times of opportunity. So embrace what He is doing. You know, I will tell you something. You are not stuck somewhere. You are not. Believe me, if anyone felt stuck somewhere in his Christian life tonight, I cancel that in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
You are not stuck. You're not in a rut. You're not in a place where you cannot move. That's over. There's freedom. There's opportunity. There's an opening right now. The heavens are opening for the people of God, and there's the Holy Spirit breathing, and what you see in Asbury is just a sign of it, maybe a beginning. I hope it's a beginning of greater things now.
Yes.
I believe it is. I embrace it. My faith is with it, and in larger measures also in nations, you see God advancing. God has demands that He's placing on this church right now. He says, I love my people, I love my church, but I cannot just accept the way it is any longer. We need to move to go from glory to glory, because he has come for a conquering bride, and he wants also a family. Sometimes the Lord is tired of different things we have been doing so long that were good, but it's not on his agenda right now. He wants something that goes further. He wants us to reflect really his heart, and sometimes we have built our structures as ministries or as structures that we get used to, but it does not always reflect his heart entirely. God is looking for his family. He wants his church to be a family that can be recognized as a family, that the love he gave us can be expressed and the world can see how they love each other, so that they can be conquered in their hearts. And so if we fight to preserve structures, if we fight to preserve what we have known to do, then the Lord comes and says, I want to bring you further.
Yeah.
I want to bring you as one. I want to fulfill John 17, my prayer. I want you to be one. I want a family. I want to live in the midst of you. In the days of Moses, it was a tabernacle. My glory was coming on that. Now you become my tabernacle. I want my church to become my tabernacle, my tent. I want you to be my house. You are my temple. It's not an external temple. It's you. You are my people. You are the house that I want to live in on this earth. And so that's transition from glory to glory. Hallelujah. And that's what God is about to do with us. So you can say goodbye to discouragement. I mean, you can kiss goodbye to that thing, and anything that's hindering you, you can say no longer, because I will advance with God in what he has to do. And then the Lord really wants us to understand it. He will repeat it again in the New Testament, in Hebrews 12, is it, right? He said, you have not come, Hebrews 12, verse 18, you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire. So you see, this is not the mountain I brought you to. See, that was in the days that I did that. Now, that's not where I bring you. See, I don't look to have what you once had. Don't look to recover what you once had, because there's something new, you see. That mountain of glory was great. I mean, we read the Old Testament and we have shivers when we read about God on Mount Sinai. But he said, this is not where I brought you. I didn't bring you to what you have experienced on that year or on that year. I brought you to another mountain. That mountain, he says a bit further down the chapter, is Mount Zion. And with this passage, he opens the heavens and he shows us the firstborns, the assembly of the firstborns, the innumerable angels that are there, Jesus Christ himself there as our Redeemer. He says, this is the place I have brought you. And so he lifts us up to that place of his heavenly Jerusalem, and he says, this is the place I have for you, the place where you have fellowship with my heavens, that place where you see me, the place where I bring heaven and earth together. That's what I have for you. Don't settle for anything less than that. I'll tell you that. Sometimes we satisfy ourselves with what we have, because what we have is good. But what we have, even if it's good, is not what God has at this time. And in that good place, some people get tired and some people get disengaged. But bring new stuff, bring new bread, bring new manna, so to speak. It's not manna, it's bread. And you see people coming and say, I was hungry the whole time. You bring back the bread in the house of God.
Amen. Amen.
When the Naomi and Ruth heard
God had visited his people. There was bread in the house.
Yes.
They went. Amen.
Amen.
We are in that transition right now. So there's two mountains. There's two Pentecost. There's two covenants. There's an old covenant. There's a new covenant. The old covenant said, you do that. You obey. Obey, you will be blessed. Right? The new covenant said, have faith, and you will live. See, it's not in the obedience of the law, it's in the freedom that Christ gave us when we look at him and believe in who he is. Amen? So that's our new covenant. It's a covenant of life. We need to live. We need to decide, really, I will not dwell in death no longer. You say, Alain, what are you talking about? We're believers here. Well, if you're believers with me, then let's live.
Yeah.
Can we agree on that? Yeah. Let's live. God wants us to live. He is life and he wants us to live. So whatever stops us from living in the freedom of the Spirit and with him and in our hearts, we need to break free from that, right? And there is healing. And there is deliverance, and there is repentance, and there is following him and walking with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. From glory to glory in a time of transition. Amen. So I want to encourage you again tonight that it is a new season. I want us to understand that right now. It is a new season. You need to embrace it. Sometimes we have been so long functioning in a certain mode of operation that we believe in a sense because we're believers, but we don't really believe it, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I believe it, but I don't really believe it, you know? I pray for revival, but I don't really believe it will happen, you know? Or if we're honest, you know, we need to go there. We need. Sometimes we have been doing it for so long in a certain way that we pray, but do we believe what we pray for?
Yeah.
And then God comes and he starts to breathe. And we say, wow, what is that? And even it takes us a little while to catch up. Is he actually answering? It's been years he didn't answer my prayers. Wow. Is he actually answering? Like, is this possible? Like, you mean that God is actually alive? You mean that he may actually do what I read that he said in the Bible? In my lifetime? In my nation? On this earth? Is it possible, David, that God would do that now? It's hard to believe at times, you know, because we prayed for so many times and you don't see it. But he said, I will bring you from glory to glory.
Right.
Meaning that if you don't go from glory to glory, you're actually stuck in the past glory. But that's not what I have for you. If you think that you know my glory, you know nothing. If you think that you know what I can do, you don't know. Let me surprise you. Let me bring you beyond to what the eye has never seen.
Yes. Amen.
Right?
Amen.
To what the ear has never heard. Do you believe that
yes,
I am God? Do you believe that I have power over all the demons, over all principalities?
Yeah.
Do you believe that I can do it?
Yeah.
If you believe I can do it, my people, walk with me. Because I'm on the move. That's what I feel the Lord is saying.
Yeah.
I'm on the move. The lion of the tribe of Judah is on the move.
Amen.
If you have open ears, you can hear the rumble. You can hear the steps in heaven. He's on the move. He's advancing. Hallelujah. One more time. He's choosing to manifest himself in America.
Yeah.
God bless America.
Yeah.
All the nations of this earth, and he is in many nations, but he chose us again to do something in America. I celebrate it with all my heart. God bless America. God come and move in America again so that nations may be touched. What you started, Father, in Asbury, and that's spreading now in other colleges, we pray, Lord, do it. Continue, Lord. Put the fire there, Lord. Breathe on it, Lord. Teach us a new way. Teach us a new way to be your people, to be the church, to be your bride. Teach us, Lord, that we would follow you and that we will revolutionize even the church world so that you will be known as the God who leads us, as the breaker who passes in front of us and opens the way, as Micah says. Hallelujah. We want to see that. Father, we want to go from glory to glory. We want to be a people of the transition because we were once called the people of the way. The way means that we are advancing. We are the people in movement. Lord, let us be the people of transition from the old to the new, from one mountain to a heavenly mountain. I pray, Father, even tonight as I speak here, that hearts are being touched in the name of Jesus. That some of you who have been so tired in serving the Lord, not tired to serve the Lord, tired in serving the Lord, I pray that that tiredness would lift out of you right now. Because by the word of the Lord, it brings refreshing to your bones. It gives life to the marrow that you have inside of you. In the name of Jesus, I come against that heaviness that has come against you in the past season, even as you were serving the Lord. And I say, it will be no more. You will not stay in that place, but you will rise up with new energy. You will mount like eagles that do not need to flap their wings, and you will soar in heaven in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I come in this place against that spirit of heaviness that has tried to plague the church and maintain the church in a status quo, maintain the church in a place of routine that I cannot do more except maintain what I have been given. You are no longer to be the maintenance place. You have to be in a place of expansion. You have to be in a place of movement. David, you're in a place of expansion. You need to expand. You need to preach the word of God. You need to give opportunity for people to know Christ in crusades, in evangelism, in whatever means the Lord gives you. It's not about maintaining a church. It's about the kingdom advancing so that the spirit of maintenance will break in Jesus' name. The people of God is not a people of maintenance. It's a people of overcoming what is against the gospel. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Hindrances, they have no power against the people of God. Obstacles have no power against the people of God. Because we have his word, because we have his authority, and we have the mandate, and we seize that mandate, and we advance with it now. We are transitioning. I declare that from this place, there is a transition starting tonight in the name of Jesus. I declare that some lives are being unlocked right now. You're being unlocked right now. You snap out of it right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You rise up in your spirit and you're changed right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. For those of you who have been plagued with a sorrow, it's not a natural sorrow. It's a spiritual attack that wanted to keep you sorrowful. The joy is not there. You still have faith in God, but it's like a heaviness that cannot leave you. When the church is praising God, you escape it for maybe half an hour. And if the sermon is good, it helps you. And when you go home, you go down again. And it's like a kind of despair. In the name of Jesus, I speak to you tonight that this is not the inheritance that God has for you. The inheritance God has for you is life abundant in the name of Jesus. So that oppression that has come on you with heaviness and sorrow, I break in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Fear. Some of you have fear a fear of the future. It is so strong that you have even rearranged all your theology to make room for fear. And so you have welcomed fear even in your understanding of the scriptures. I want to tell you that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is overcoming, and you need to banish fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. Don't let fear grip you. But you say, I don't know how not to fear because I'm so afraid. In the name of Jesus, I speak the word of God against that fear right now. And with the word of God, I break the back of that fear from your life right now. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. And I release to you a wind of courage. A wind of courage like the heroes of the Bible that we read of in Hebrews 12. You will get a hold of the life of these heroes and you will say, I'm joining their ranks. I'm joining their ranks. I fear nothing because the word of the Lord has been given to me. Hallelujah. Can we give glory to God? We give you honor and glory, Father, for what you're doing right now. Lord, we have received the lie in the church that the generation that is younger than those of my age here, the generation that is younger, we have received the lie that we were losing them, that the have no interest, that the world had taken them. And in some sense, Father, we have cursed them by our declaration. Father, we repent, first of all, of having labeled the younger generations with labels that would disqualify them, while all along your eyes were on them and your heart was for them, and you were not ignorant of the snares of the enemy, but you knew what you would do. And we did not always understand it, but we come to you right now as a church, as a body of Christ. And we say, Father, we trust you. Father, we trust you. If you extended your hand to save our generation, you are powerful again to save the following generations and to give them more power than you gave us, so that our ceiling becomes their launching pad for their destiny. Lord, we declare that this generation is blessed, that this generation is marked for the gospel. That generation is the nightmare of the enemy. That generation is a secret that God kept for the end times. That this generation are carriers of such glory that we see, literally we will see them go from glory to glory to glory to glory. And there will be no end to the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ in them. Father, we thank you for what you're doing right now in Asbury. And we pray together, Lord, that you will move in power, and that you will move, Lord, swiftly, and that you will move, Lord, for your glory in all these situations. And we say thank you, Father, because we receive what we do, what you do, Lord. We receive what you do. We celebrate it, Lord. We pray for it, Lord. We're excited about it, Father. Lord, your church is becoming excited again. And we welcome that excitement. We welcome that joy. It's a transition from sorrow to joy. Hallelujah. From being stale to being excited again. In Jesus' name. I pray that GCMF, Lord, will be revived in that season. Lord, some have thought in their hearts that it is becoming old, that it is growing old. But I pray that you will breathe on this family of churches and that they will see the rejuvenation that the Spirit brings in their ranks. Father, in the opposite, I see that you have grown many fathers and mothers in that fellowship. And because of that, it is a safe place for generations to be welcomed and groomed and loved and celebrated when your Spirit comes in them. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Let's give glory to God again. If anyone's still discouraged tonight, I can't stand discouragement. I never, when I was a young Christian, I don't know if I want to say, maybe it was personal to me, but God said, treat discouragement as a sin. It was talking to me, maybe it's not your case, it was my case. It means it's an enemy to you. Don't accept it. Don't accept it. Fight it. I cannot stand discouragement. I used to say I can encourage anyone. Anyone I can encourage by the word of the Lord. If you're discouraged, I will encourage you out of it by the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. There's no reason. There's no reason. From transition to transition, from glory to glory, you don't stay there tonight.
Right.
We don't accept it. You come out of it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You come out in life tonight. You come out in glory tonight. You come out in hope tonight. You come out in joy tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We ask, Lord, for that spirit of joy to be released on your people now. We ask for that spirit of faith to be released on your people now, because the days are glorious. Amen. The enemy says the days are for destruction, but God says the days are for redemption. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing. Lord, we receive it. We receive you. We receive your spirit. And when you are with us, Lord, who can be against us?
Right.
When God is in the house, when God is in the midst of his family, what would the enemy do? He can't do nothing.
Amen.
Because God is facing him. Let the lion lead us to the battle. Let the lion lead us to victory in the name of Jesus. Let the lion be our commander. Let the lion take his sword and charge in front of us as we follow him. Hallelujah. We want to follow hard after you, Lord Jesus. We are not lingering back. We're advancing. We're right on your heels. We're walking with you. Lead us, Lion of Judah. Hallelujah. And we will celebrate you and give you honor and glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
What an encouraging word to hear tonight.
Yeah.
I'm encouraging myself. I was so tired entering in. I went to Sarah. I said, Rob, and pray as we worship, because my mind is so fuzzy right now with the tiredness. But the Lord.
The Lord.
Amen. You shall live. Amen. You shall live, you shall not die. You will declare the word of the Lord. Amen. Lift your hand and say amen. I will live. And I will live an abundant life. And I will declare the glory of God in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's stand to our feet. And let's declare those things. I am alive. I will declare the glory of God. More than a conqueror. By Christ Jesus. You see, that means that conqueror is not enough for you. You are more
than
that. Conqueror is just a victory. No, your life is a victory. You are more than conqueror. That's why you need to go from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Father, we bless your people tonight. We bless this precious company that you have here that is so precious to you that you went to the extent of giving your life on the cross for them, to the extent of pouring your blood for each and every one of us. That's the extent of your love, Father. And because of that, we stand in faith.
Yes.
We stand,
yes.
Lord, in acknowledgement of who you are.
Yes.
We stand in gratitude, Father, and we give you the highest praise,
yes.
The highest honor, and we say, your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
If you get ready, my wife, we're going to receive your offering. So this offering, you might be checking the GCMF. But I also want to encourage you, you need to sow something for our life ministry. So anything that has ALAIN written on it, on the envelope, on the check, Elaine, that we know you want to sow to him. If you're sowing to the ministry, then just sow your seed. Nothing comes to this house. We're fine. This is all about GCMF and about our guests. So, Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts and show us what to do. Take care of the ministry and take care of the man of God. In Jesus' name, I should be certain people. Thank you, Father God, for this offering. Thank you for the word of the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Receive in Jesus' name. Bless. I time. And thank you for the time we've had with them this weekend. Speak to our hearts. Thank you, Lord. Rest tonight. You know, I think you gave me rest tonight. But thank you for this rest. And now the food that we're about to eat. Hallelujah. Thank you. We bless the food in the name of Jesus. And we receive it. We thank you, Lord God.
Yes.
For a time of wonderful fellowship. In Jesus' name. Amen. Before we go, Marie and Jack, you say, this is my team, your friends, Dr. Jack and Pastor Marie. We preached together a time or two. We had a two-week revival in this house. God swept and turned this church around. Thank you. And I just welcome you tonight. I'll be preaching this church for you. Thanks, I love you. I'm glad you're here. This one, but this is my favorite. Amen. So, you're dismissed to the